Yesterday, I posed the question, who is Shri Krishna? And we learned that Shri Krishna is described in the Vedas. He is told about extensively in the Vedas, Upanishads, of course, the Gita, Puranas, Bhagavatam. But especially in the Vedas is important because the Veda is the foundation of Sanatana Dharma. So if something is not described in the Vedas, then people can question that, well, maybe it came later. Maybe somebody started this at a later time. But if it's in the Vedas, we know it's eternal. Because Veda itself is eternal and unchanging. So Shri Krishna is described extensively, and it is told by the Vedas that he is Param Dev, Param Brahma, Parapar Tattva. He's the Supreme God. He is Sat Chit Anand. We not only looked into the Vedas yesterday, but we also looked into the Bhagavatam, which gives a very extensive description of Shri Krishna and how all the other forms of God are interrelated because they're all one. So we learned that in the Bhagavatam, Veda Vyasji says that Supreme God, Shri Krishna, the Advaya Jnana Tattva, He exists eternally in three main forms. We call Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. So I told you that Bhagwan is Shri Krishna in His absolute blissful form, divine love form. As Paramatma, it's the same Shri Krishna, but in an almighty form. And you know the almighty forms of God, Vishnu, Shiva, Durga, and many affiliated forms. And as Brahm, the same Shri Krishna is formless, Nirakar Brahm. So you can think of these three main forms like the sun behind the clouds, where there's light, but there's no form. You can't see the sun on a densely cloudy day. So it's still day, there's still sunlight, but you can't see the actual form of the sun. You can think something like this is Brahm, formless God. The same sun on a clear day is like Paramatma, the almighty form of God. So it's the same sun either behind the clouds or on a clear day. So it's the same God, either formless, where almost all of His powers are dormant, or as Paramatma, where His powers are active, so He has a form. And He performs actions. And the sun, through a telescope, is even closer. So that's like Bhagwan. Because you can have leelas with Bhagwan Shri Krishna. Leelas means some kind of personal interaction between God and His parikar. Parikar means His associates, those saints who have attained Him. But it's the same God. So the same Shri Krishna exists as Brahm, Paramatma, and Bhagwan. Or you can say the same Bhagwan exists as Bhagwan, Paramatma, and Brahm. Because if all of His powers are manifested, He's Bhagwan Shri Krishna. If only the almighty aspect of His personality is manifested, He is Mahavishnu. And if almost, you can say, all of His powers are dormant, they're still there, but they're dormant, then He's formless. I also explained that in Bhagavatam it says, Jagrihe Paurusham Rupam Bhagavan Mahatadibhi, that Swayam Bhagavan Shri Krishna takes many avatar. So what is the first one? Adyovatara Purusha Parasya. His Adi avatar is called Pratham Purushavatar. I explained this yesterday, that Purush is another name for Almighty God. So Shri Krishna becomes Almighty God, Mahavishnu, in order to manifest the entire universe. Then, as Mahavishnu, He becomes omnipresent in the universe. That's Dvitiya Purushavatar, also called Garbhodashayi. Then, Tritiya Purushavatar, His third avatar, is as Chirodashayi Vishnu, meaning the Vishnu of each Brahmand. I explained this to you briefly yesterday. So this is our Shri Krishna, who appears as Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, who is one Supreme God in divine Vaikunth abode. And then that Mahavishnu establishes an embassy in each Brahman. In Ved it says, Sa eka eveshvara narayano khila brahmandadhipatirekonsha. That Mahanarayan, Mahavishnu, He is ekonsha, ekaha ancha. He's one anch of Shri Krishna. He's a part of Krishna's power. And there are Akhila Brahman. Akhila means unlimited. A Brahman means an earth planet with souls living there. And a Swarga and a Narak. And governed, each one is governed by one dissension of God Vishnu. And he has his little embassy there in each Brahman called Chir Sagar. So in fact, in Devi Bhagavat Puran it says, Sankhya Chet Rajasamasti Navishvanam Kadachana Brahma Vishnu Shivadinam Tatha Sankhya Navidyate. That although it may be possible for you to count every grain of sand on this entire earth planet, you could never count the number of Brahman in this universe. The universe is one, but it extends forever in every direction. There's no limit to it. And in this unlimited universe, there are unlimited souls. So how could they all reside in one Brahman? So God creates uncountable, unlimited number of Brahman. And each Brahman is ruled by one Vishnu, one Shiva, and one Brahma. So this verse said, Brahma Vishnu Shiva Dinam Tatha Sankhya Na Vidyate. And there are also uncountable Vishnus, uncountable Shivas, and uncountable Brahmas, because there is one of each in each Brahman. Now actually there's not uncountable Vishnus, there's only one Vishnu, there's only one Shiva, but they take uncountable forms, so that simultaneously they're descending in each and every Brahman. So that's why Brahma says in the Bhagavatam, Sri Jami Tanni Yuktoham Haro Harati Tad Vashaham Vishvam Purusha Rupena Paripati Trishakti Drik. He says, I create with the power that I get from Krishna. Shiva destroys with the power he gets from Krishna. And in the form of Purush, Vishvam Purusha Rupena Paripati, he keeps care or he maintains the Brahmand in the form of Purush, Vishnu. Brahma said in his Brahma Samhita, before Krishna graced him with the power to be able to create the Brahman, he prayed to Krishna because he didn't know. He knew he had to create the Brahman. He had received that agya from Shri Krishna. But he said, how? What do I do? There's nothing. I don't even know where I came from. He appeared on the lotus that came out of Vishnu of this Brahman's navel. And he said, I'm here. And I know I'm supposed to create the Brahman, but where did I come from? He swam down into Kshir Sagar, following the stem of that lotus flower, trying to find the origin of where he came from. But he couldn't find it. He sat in meditation for a long time in his lotus flower, thinking, how am I going to create this Brahman? I don't know what to do. In the end, he prayed to Shri Krishna. Yasyaikani shvasita kala matha valambhya jivanti loma vilaja jagadandanatha Vishnur mahan sa iha yasya kalavishesho govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. O Adi Purush Govinda, I worship you and surrender to you. You, whose one life is the duration of Mahavishnu's existence. Because Krishna, he breathes one time and the universe is brought into being. His breath is finished and the universe is dissolved. That's Shri Krishna. So Mahavishnu is the creator of this entire universe. You can say Krishna takes the form of Vishnu, Mahavishnu, to do that. So Brahma is saying, Mahavishnu, the Lord of uncountable universes, His life is equal to one of your breaths, Shri Krishna. That is how powerful you are. So Vishnur Mahan, Mahavishnu, the Lord of the entire universe, Kala Vishesha. Oh Krishna, He is your Kala, He is your power. He is a special power of yours. So we see that Vishnu is referred to as Shri Krishna's Ansh, as His Kala, as His almighty form. So that Mahavishnu takes avatar in uncountable Brahman, and He produces one Brahma in each Brahman, and there's all Shiva also descends in each Brahman. So there's one Vishnu, one Shiva, and one Brahma in each Brahman, and they all report back to Mahavishnu. He's the Lord of uncountable Brahman. And Mahavishnu is only one Ansh of Shri Krishna's total personality. So that is Shri Krishna. When Shri Krishna was in Dwarika one time, our Brahma of our Brahman, he decided that, Supreme God has come in my Brahman? Well, I should go and visit. And he was going with the pride that I'm the Brahma and I should be received with respect. So Krishna knew Brahma's coming and he's coming with his pride. So I need to do something to remove his pride. So as Brahma came to the outer gate of Dwarika, he was stopped by the guard there. The guard said, who are you? He said, well, I'm Brahma. And what's your business here? Well, I've come to see Shri Krishna, want to have an audience with him. So that guard went and he told Shri Krishna that Brahma is here to see you. So Shri Krishna said, ask him one thing, ask him, which Brahma are you? So he went back, the guard went, and he said, Shri Krishna wishes to know that which Brahma are you? So Brahma thought for a minute, which Brahma? What is he talking about? I'm Brahma, I'm the Brahma. So just then, Shri Krishna, using his divine power, he summoned all the other Brahmas from all the other Brahman in the whole universe. And they started coming in an endless line down towards Dwarika. And they were bigger and bigger and bigger than our Brahma. Our Brahma only has four faces. So the size of the Brahma it corresponds with the size of the Brahmand. Our Brahmand is one of the smallest, so we have one of the smallest Brahmas. But there were other Brahmas coming who had 8 faces, 10 faces, 100 faces, 1,000 faces, 1,000,000 face Brahma, bigger and bigger and bigger, unbelievable how big and powerful they were. And our Brahma was just watching this whole long line of Brahmas coming. Then he realized, oh, I'm one Brahma in this whole huge universe. So that Shri Krishna is the Lord, or you can say his one Ansh, Mahavishnu, produces this whole entire universe in which there are unlimited number of Brahmas. So that Shri Krishna descends on this earth planet. Swayam Bhagwan Shri Krishna visits this earth planet once in one day of Brahma, which is called a Kalp, which is 4.32 billion years. In that much elapse of time, Swayam Bhagwan comes on the earth one time. All the other avatar are his avatar, but in those forms he's not revealing his full power, his full personality. That only happens once. So, I left you with a question yesterday that Krishna that we know who played on this earth planet, who grew up like a little boy, who did all kinds of leelas, playful leelas, loving leelas, naughty leelas, can that little boy really be the same Swayam Bhagwan that we hear about from the Vedas and other scriptures? So to answer this question, let's go to the Bhagavatam and see the scene of his appearance in this world. People know that Devaki was pregnant with Krishna. Devaki, who was in Kansa's dungeon, being held with Vasudevji, she was pregnant and she had a 9-month pregnancy. You could see that her belly was getting bigger. Everybody knew she was pregnant. But then after the 9 months had passed, how was Shri Krishna born? What was his janma like? Bhagavatam says, tamadbhutam balakamam bhuje kshanam chaturbhujam shankhagadaryudayudam shrivatsalakshmam galashobhikaustubham pitambaram sandrapayodasaubhagam. He appeared in full form as Mahavishnu. Why did he appear as Vishnu first? He explained to both Vasudeva and Devaki, he said, you worshipped me in your past life and you worshipped me in my form as Vishnu. And at that time I granted you a boon that I would come as your son. So I appeared in this form first to remind you who I am, so you wouldn't be confused and you know now I'm granting you your boon. So he was full grown, Shri Krishna, in the form of Mahavishnu with four arms holding the chakra, the padma, chakra is his weapon, padma, the lotus, the conch, and his gada, his mace. So all four hands, wearing his pitambara, having the Shrivats mark on his chest, wearing the kaustubh mani as a necklace around his neck. Could he have come out of Devaki's womb? No. No one is born full-sized like that. So then why do we celebrate Janmashtami, which we're going to be doing in a couple of weeks? Krishna's birthday, if he wasn't born? Because Janma means Jani Pradurbhave. In other words, Prakat Hona. Janma actually means, the actual meaning in Sanskrit of Janma is to appear. See, we appear too. Wherever we died, then our soul left that body. It didn't get on a plane and travel to go somewhere wherever our next birth was going to be. It disappeared over there and reappeared inside our mother's womb. So we also appear. That's our janma. But Shri Krishna didn't spend 9 months in Devaki's womb. For one thing, he can't come and go. See, we come into our mother's womb, whoever's going to be our mother in that life. But Shri Krishna is already omnipresent, so he can't come and go because he's already everywhere. So he's inside me, he's inside you, he was already inside Devaki. So there's no question of some like baby forming and the embryo growing. That didn't happen. Using his Yoga Maya Shakti, Shri Krishna simulated Devaki's pregnancy. Yoga Maya is defined as kartum akartum anyatha kartum samartha. With this power, Bhagwan can do anything. Kartum means he can do anything. Akartum means if he wants to, he doesn't have to do anything. And anyatha kartum, he can do that totally impossible. Think of it this way. Just like you churn milk and get butter. That's kartum. Don't churn milk. Akartum. Or churn water and get butter. Impossible, right? Bhagwan can do it. How? Through his Yoga Maya Shakti. So God can do anything through Yoga Maya. Using his Yoga Maya Shakti, he made Devaki have the experience that she was pregnant. Her belly expanded. She felt that there was a baby in there. She even felt it moving. kicking like mothers do. But after 9 months had passed, she just felt like the air had been let out of a balloon. Her stomach became small, and simultaneously Krishna appeared before her. So he was not born in the way we are born. He appeared in his full divine glory, in his almighty form as Mahavishnu. Then Devaki prayed to him, Upasanghara Vishvatman Nado Rupamalaukikam. After she and Vasudevji had paid their proper respects to him, then she prayed to him to become a little baby, because she said, you promised us you would come as our son, but you're already the size of my father, so now please become a little baby. Then Krishna took the form of a little boy, just a one-day-old boy, and from then he went on growing up. From there you know how Vasudevji took him, the chains were released, the doors, the gates to the jail all opened, the guards fell asleep, he took him across Yamunaji, left him in the home of Nanda Baba, and brought Yogamaya back. So this is how Shri Krishna's time on this earth began. Is he the same Shri Krishna? Yes, he is. He himself says in the Gita, Ajo pisan avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan prakritim swamadhishthaya sambhavamyatma mayaya. He says, Atma Mayaya, it's another word for his Yogamaya Shakti. He says, using my Yogamaya Shakti, even though I am eternal, so I can never be born, Ajopi, Ajaha Api, means Aj Pone Parbhi. Even though he is unborn, yet he simulates a birth. So it looks like he takes birth. And we call him Devaki Nandan, Vasudev, the son of Vasudev. We call him Yashoda Nandan, Nandalal, the loving son of Yashoda and Nandababa. Yet, he is unborn. Bhutanam Ishvaropi san, even though he is still the Ishwar of all the living beings, yet he appears at one place on this earth planet. Can you imagine? That Shri Krishna that's seen crawling across the floor because he doesn't know how to walk yet, and if he stands up he falls down and hurts himself and starts crying. That same Shri Krishna, while he's doing that lila, he simultaneously knows what each of us is thinking. He's still monitoring every soul in existence and knows what they're thinking. He resides in every soul's heart and keeps track of all of their karma. He's still the Lord of the universe. Prakritim swamadhishthaya. He says, I still control this maya. I'm still the Lord of the universe, but using my yoga maya power, I appear at one place in this universe, even though I'm still omnipresent. Can you imagine? He's everywhere, but he's only visible to us at that one place. That's avatar. A saint would still see him everywhere else. Vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudurlabha Gita. A mahatma, a God-realized saint, sees Krishna everywhere all the time. This whole universe is the form of Krishna for him. But we can't see him. But if he takes avatar, then even though we can't see him anywhere else, we could see him at that one place. But the saints see him, oh, yes, he's appearing here for the other souls. They can all see him, but I can still see him everywhere else as well. That's for a saint. So it's that same Shri Krishna who is the Lord of the universe, who is described as Supreme God in the Vedas, that same Shri Krishna appears, takes avatar, takes the form of a little baby, and then does all kinds of leelas, bal leelas, growing up as a little boy. Yet, he is the same Supreme God, Krishna. See, when he was only 6 years old, he killed Putana, a demoness who came to kill him and suckled him, although she had wiped the Kalakut poison on her breast when she suckled Shri Krishna, it was Shri Krishna who killed Putana, not the poison that killed Shri Krishna. Even though she had come in the form of a beautiful woman, when she started suckling Shri Krishna, he was pulling the life out of her. And she resumed her form as a huge demoness. And when she fell, she crushed 12 miles of trees. 19 kilometers, 6 kos, crushed all that jungle, and all the Brajwasis came running. What happened? What happened? Where did Krishna go? And then they see him, little 6-day Krishna, on top of Putana. Even though she fell, Krishna hadn't let go of her even yet. And then they all came and grabbed him, Yashoda. Oh my Nana. See, none of the Brajwasis thought of Krishna as God. Even though he was, obviously, how could a 6-day-old baby kill a 12-mile-long Rakshasi? He's supreme God. Yet none of those Brajwasis thought of Krishna as God. How? That Yogamaya Shakti does several things. One is allowing God to appear in this world even while remaining omnipresent and doing all the other work he has to do. Another is that same Yogamaya Shakti makes those God-realized saints unaware of Krishna's Bhagavata. And most of the time makes Shri Krishna forget his own Bhagavata. See, what is Bhagavata? It's also defined in the Bhagavatam. Aishwaryasya samagrasya dharmasya yashasa shriya jnana vairagya yoschaiva shandam bhaga itirana. The one who has bhag is Bhagavan. Bhagavan means bhagwala. So what is bhag? Bhag is having 6 things in unlimited amount. Aishwarya means power. Power to rule. Dharma means goodness, righteousness. Shri means wealth and beauty. Yash, worshipfulness. Gyan, knowledge. And Vairagya, detachment. So Shri Krishna, being Bhagwan, has all 6 of these things in unlimited amount. The sweetness of his leelas is not manifested. If he's behaving as Bhagwan, see, he revealed his Bhagavata form to Arjuna on the battlefield. And Arjuna was trembling in front of him. Even having received divine vision, he said, Prasida Devesha Jagannivasa. Oh Shri Krishna, please resume your form as my friend. I've seen enough. This form is too much. When you think of God as being almighty, unlimited power, you can't, there's no closeness, there's no personal connection. You'll admire him and be in awe of him and respect him. But you can't love him. How can you love someone who has unlimited almightiness? When we're just beggars for uncountable lifetimes. It's like a beggar dreaming of marrying a princess. Would any beggar honestly consider that as a possibility? Then how could an ordinary fallen soul such as ourselves think that Shri Krishna would ever look our way? Why would he look the way of an ordinary soul? You think, I want to have God as my friend. No. Bhagwan doesn't need any friend. He is self-complacent. Why would he need to be our friend? Why would he care to be our friend? Or to have any kind of personal interaction with us? So Yogamaya makes both Shri Krishna and the soul who has attained Shri Krishna, the saint, forget his bhagavatta. Bhagwan apni bhagavatta bhool jate hain aur jeev bhi bhool jate hain ki main jeev hi hoon aur ye bhagwan hai. He forgets totally. So in Braj, Shri Krishna has banished his almightiness. He has said, you don't get to be here in Braj. In Braj, Yoga Maya makes me forget that I have all this almighty power, knowledge, all of this, and makes all of my saints forget as well. So that's why Mother Yashoda comes running. If she knew, oh, Krishna is the Supreme Lord of the universe, he creates and destroys this universe with a mere sankalp, a mere thought, why would I be worried about any size rakshas, whether she be 12 miles long or 1200 miles long? What difference does it make? My Lala is Supreme God. She wouldn't care. She came running though. Oh, what happened? Oh, you're okay. She was so worried. Why? Because she's not thinking Krishna is Supreme God. She's thinking Krishna is my son. That's it. She loved him as her son. Then there's Madhurya. Where there's Aishwarya, there's no Madhurya. You reduce the Aishwarya and you get more Madhurya. Completely remove Aishwarya and you have pure Madhurya, pure sweetness. So that is the form of Shri Krishna. His ultimate form is the ultimate manifestation of that Madhurya. The sweetness of God's Leelas, which is not seen in Vaikunth abode. At all. It's completely missing because that divine love power is completely dormant. So Shri Krishna as Mahavishnu doesn't do any such leelas. So you can observe him in his divine almightiness, but you can't enjoy any kind of leelas there in Vaikuntha abode. Therefore, knowing that souls would want something more, Shri Krishna manifests these loving leelas with the help of his Yoga Maya Shakti, so that it wouldn't be pretend. You see, when Maya was holding her stick in front of Krishna, did you eat the soil? Tell me. Krishna was trembling and actually crying tears. That, oh, I'm in so much trouble, just like a little boy would do. So if someone thought, oh, he's actually Supreme God and he's just pretending to be afraid of his mother, then who would enjoy that leela? What makes that leela so sweet is that he really was afraid of Mother Yashoda. Why was he afraid? Because Yoga Maya made him forget that he's God. All he knew was, this is my mother and I'm in trouble. That's all he knew. And mother didn't know that this is God. I'm holding a stick in front of him. All she knew was, this is my loving son. And I need to straighten him out. That's all she was thinking. Now in this particular case, Shri Krishna had eaten the soil. But he tried something a little tricky. When his mother asked him, did you eat the soil? He said, mother, if you don't believe me, why don't you just look in my mouth and see for yourself? He said with great confidence, thinking that when I say it so confidently, so she'll just believe me. She'll think that, why would he tell me to look in his mouth if he had eaten the soil? But today, Maya was not to be fooled. She said, okay, Lala, open up. Let's see. Now Krishna was really caught. So she's holding this little stick, like just one that waves like that, not a club or anything. But Krishna's thinking, now I'm going to get hit for sure. Because if I don't open my mouth, she'll assume that I ate the soil. If I do open my mouth, she'll look and she'll see that there's soil in my teeth and she'll know. So either way, I'm going to get hit. So what do I do? Do I open my mouth? Do I not open my mouth? Is there any way out of this? And as he was thinking and trembling, he had closed his eyes and he's waiting for the stick to hit. He didn't know what to do, and just out of fear, because his mother was saying, Mun khol, khol, his mouth just opened. Now, his Aishwarya Shakti, which is his servant, whom he had told, you don't come here in Braj, because where you are, there's no Madhurya. So he had banished her from Braj, yet she's seeing this lila happening, and she's thinking, my Swami is going to get beat today. I can't allow this. So she quickly, as Krishna opened his mouth, his Aishwarya Shakti entered and showed Maya the whole universe inside of Krishna's mouth. And she looked in and she saw it. She thought she was going to see a little bit of mitti. She saw unlimited mitti, unlimited Brahmand worth of mitti. And she started to become dizzy that, you know, what am I seeing? What's going on in my Lala's mouth? Is he God? What's happening? And she became dizzy. She dropped the stick. And Krishna is not aware of any of this at this point. He's just waiting that, why hasn't the stick hit yet? You know, so he slowly opened his eyes and he saw that mother was looking so scared. Then he knew, oh, my Aishwarya Shakti came. Hey, you get out of here. You can't take part in these Braj Leelas. Then he used his Yogamaya Shakti to make mother forget what she had seen. And then she just thought, oh, I must have been hallucinating. What was I thinking? Oh, come here, Lala. But anyway, then she forgot about punishing him as well. So that was good for Krishna. But we know from that the same little Krishna who's trembling in front of Mother Yashoda is the same Supreme God. He's none other. But his Yogamaya Shakti makes all of these loving, childlike leelas possible. See, when he became a little bit older one day, because he used to go out grazing the cows with his friends, the Gwalbals, they used to meet every day. Their mothers would prepare some lunch for each of them, and then they would all meet, like a big group of them. Every morning, they'd have breakfast, then they'd take their packed lunch, and just taking each Gwalbal, each of Krishna's friends, had his family's cows, so they'd just join in, and all the cows would join together, and all the boys would go together. Because it's less work if you do it together. If all the cows are grazing together, then you can say, oh, the cows went over there, someone should go get them. One or two of the Gwalbals would go. The rest of the boys could just keep playing. So they spent their days playing all kinds of games. Tag, hide and seek, tug of war, having, telling jokes, sometimes wrestling, dancing, just having all kinds of fun. And then of course they'd get hungry, so they'd all sit. And the way they would do it, they would sit Krishna in the middle. And then there would be concentric rings of Gwalbals around him, all facing in. Then they'd all open their lunches, and they'd all start sharing. Oh, my mother gave me this today. Here, Krishna, try this. And then Krishna would feed one of his Gwalbals, and even he would see someone eating something good, and he would take it right out of their mouth and eat it himself. In other words, eating their jutha. He felt so close with his friends, and they never thought of him as God, and he never thought of it that I'm God and these are just ordinary souls. They were friends. That was it. That's all Krishna thought of, that these are my best friends. And the same, those Gwalbals only knew that Krishna loves us more than anything. Now, Brahma came and observed one day that, thinking, oh, Supreme God has come in my Brahmand, let me go and see what he's up to. So he came in his celestial chariot and he looks down and he sees this scene of Krishna with the Gwalbals. And he says, I thought Supreme God only accepted offerings that were offered in great yajna with proper protocol. What is this? He's playing with these other boys and they're all just looking like village boys and they're sharing their food around and joking and he just looks like an ordinary boy. How is it possible that this is Supreme God? I better test him and find out. So, Brahma designed a test. The cows had gone off in one direction. So Brahma took the opportunity, using his power, to transport all of those cows to a distant cave and keep them in a trance, keep them under that spell and just keep them in that cave. So some of the Gualbals notice, that, oh, all of the cows are gone. Krishna said, don't worry, you guys keep eating, I'll go and find out where they went, I'll bring them back. So while Krishna was out looking for the cows, Brahma took all of the Gualbals, put them in a trance, and kept them in the same cave. When Krishna couldn't find the cows, he came back to tell the Gualbals that he couldn't find them, but then the Gualbals were also missing. Then Sri Krishna thought for 1 second, and he knew, Brahma is doing this. So I'm going to teach him a lesson. Now, Brahma, after having kept the cows and the Gualbals in the cave, he decided, I'm feeling a little hungry myself. I think I'll go back to my Satyalok for lunch. And then I'll come back and see, you know, how Sri Krishna handles the situation. So, he goes back to his abode, the topmost abode of Swarg. But Sri Krishna had gone ahead in the form of Brahma, taken his seat on Brahma's throne and warned the guards that there's an imposter Brahma who's going to come shortly, so you arrest him and throw him in the jail. So when Brahma arrived in his abode, he saw another Brahma sitting on his throne and the guards rushing to arrest him, so he fled back down to earth. And when he came back down to earth, what did he see? But the same scene, Krishna sitting with all the Gualbals and the cows grazing. And he thought, wait a minute, he went to the cave and he checked, no, the Gualbals and the cows are still here. Then how can they be there also? He started to feel dizzy. And then he realized, oh, Krishna's doing this with his yoga maya. I made a mistake of thinking he was an ordinary boy. Oh, okay, then he went and he surrendered to Krishna and Krishna graced him, and then Brahma was able to see that actually Krishna himself had taken the form of each of the Gualbals and each of the cows in place of the actual ones which were still in the cave. Sometime later, there was another lila where Indra underestimated Krishna. Krishna knew of Indra's pride in his position. So when the Brajavasis were getting ready to worship Indra, he convinced them not to. He said, why not worship Govardhan Hill? Govardhan Hill provides all the green grass for our cows to graze. So they agreed. And Indra became so angry, he said, this little boy thinks he can convince people not to worship me? I'll teach him a lesson and I'll teach all these Brajavasis a lesson. And using his powers, he flooded Braj with the worst rainstorm, like a storm that happens at the time of Pralaya. So to protect the Brajavasis, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, the whole mountain, on the pinky of his left hand. And he held it for 7 days and seven nights, like a giant umbrella, protecting all of the Brajavasis and all of the cows. So after 7 days, Indra gave up and he realized all of my powers are not working on this boy. What's going on? Then he realized I made a big mistake. Krishna really is God. And then he came. Actually, he came after. He stopped the rain. Krishna, seeing that the sun was coming out, he told all the Brajavasis, you can go out now. He put Govardhan Hill down. And then Indra, being embarrassed, came secretly, quietly to Krishna in a private place and bowed down saying, I made a big mistake. And of course Krishna forgave him. So we see from all of these lilas that Sri Krishna enacted lilas with the help of his yogamaya power, where he was revealing the sweetness of his relationship with the other souls, his saints, like the Gualbals were his friends, Mother Yashoda was his mother, Nanda Baba was his father. The gopis had very sweet, loving, playful interactions with Krishna. All of this was possible because Krishna wasn't acting as Bhagwan when he was in Braj. Yet, simultaneously, he was still Supreme God. So what we learn from this is that we should never take Krishna's leelas in a material way. He is Supreme God who is revealing these loving leelas only for the benefit of those saints, so that they can enjoy that personal closeness with Him, and for our benefit, so we can also aspire to that. If it is appealing to you, that you think, oh really? I could be with Krishna like that, where He would forget that He's God, and He would just act like my friend? Who wouldn't want that? Or He would act like my own son? Everybody would want that. So He reveals that for us, so we can know that we can do devotion to Him with those feelings, and when we purify our heart, we can actually have that relationship with Him forever in the divine world, just like those Brajwasis. So far we understand that Shri Krishna is Supreme God, and that Supreme God Shri Krishna descends on this earth planet once in one kalp, and when He does, He reveals all of those loving leelas for as long as He's in Braj. However, He does not stay in Braj the entire time. He also goes to Mathura and to Dwarika, and He reveals more almightiness when He goes to those places. So there's a big question that comes in people's minds. Why did Krishna leave Radha, the gopis, the Gwalbals, Mother Yashoda, Ananda Baba, and go to Mathura and Dwarika? Why did He do that and He never returned to Braj? So the answer has to do with Sri Krishna's other forms and how He has to reveal those other forms as well. But I'll be explaining what those other forms are and why Sri Krishna left Braj in tomorrow's pravachan. As well, tomorrow I'll be explaining the form of devotion, how we can attain Sri Krishna and enjoy His divine leelas forever. So now we'll finish by doing a little bit of chanting. We'll chant this kirtan by Kripaluji Maharaj that reveals Sri Krishna's grace on the souls, that He allows them to have these relationships with Him. Sing this, you can just think of those leelas of Krishna, and you can even imagine that you yourself are a Gwalbal or a Gopi or get to be Krishna's mother.
Yeah. प्यारे प्यारे
7, and we'll also have dinner prasad after the program tomorrow.